Welcome to part five on the conclusion of our series, Baggage. Has anybody been enjoying this as much as I have? I think it's just been a great life freeing series. Let me do what I always do this time in our worship experience on Sunday morning, and that is to pause right here and just welcome all those that are with us at on our online campus. We're so glad to have you along for the ride. Come on, let's welcome them here. Yeah. And it's so interesting to hear and get feedback from people who are watching weekly on a regular basis from various places. And we have a little bit of new technology today, so hopefully your experience is a little bit better there viewing us online. And let me also say to our online campus, there are message notes on our website at crosspointworshipcenter.com that you can download and follow along with us as we unpack this installment of this message. Of this series. Let me just say to you as well, there in your worship guide, there are message notes. I encourage you to follow along with us. And I think today is really going to be very, very interesting and very important installment of this series as we talk about staying free. I want to just say we are getting a lot of great feedback from this series. But I think it's important to understand where we've come from so that you can experience what we're going to try to accomplish today. So let me just take about 5 minutes just to kind of recap here sort of our journey of where we've been. In week one, we unpacked the term baggage, and we discovered really that everybody, all of us, have some kind of baggage. In this journey called life, a lot of us aren't enjoying the ride. We're not enjoying the trip. There's nothing wrong with the destination, but there's just this stuff in our life, and we think at times, well, we just have to deal with it, and we drag it along, as you saw in the opener, the video there. We just kind of drag along this baggage everywhere we go with us. But really, it's making the trip a lot less enjoyable, and really not what we're not experiencing really what God intended for us to have. And so the baggage we discovered, we discovered this word stronghold. It represents a stronghold, and it means really that you've bought into something that's not true. You become a prisoner locked by a deception. That's really what stronghold means. So it's not about a heaven or earth or heaven or hell issue, but it's about enjoying your journey as we're traveling towards heaven, right? And so but we bought into this deception, and if we bought into a deception or we bought into a lie, it makes sense then if all this is based on a lie, this baggage that we drag along from place to place is based on a lie, then it only makes sense that the solution is truth. I want to begin with a verse that's not there in your notes, but it's been a theme verse for this series that's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that really points this out. It says that though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And that weapon that we have, one of the greatest weapons we have, is this truth of God's word that we declare against the lie and the thing that our circumstances or our past or our environment or those around us, or whatever the enemy has tried to speak into our life and to try to put us in this place of imprisonment, we can break the lies with the truth of God's Word and what God's Word declares over our life. It kind of reminds me of, and I've shared this before, but the story of a guy who goes into a pet store, and he goes in, and there's this talking parrot that's there. And he says, hey, you, to this customer. And the customer looks over to the parrot and says, you talking to me? And he says, yeah, I'm talking to you. Come here. And he goes over to the parrot, and he says, you know what? He says, what? He said, you are the ugliest person I've ever seen in my life. And the man's like, offended by this, you know. And so he goes up to the owner and says, hey, I'm offended. Your parrot has offended me. He told the owner what he said, and the owner goes up, you know, smacks the bird upside the beak, pulls out a few feathers, says, hey, man, you can't talk to our customers like that. So, you know, so a little time goes on, And the man comes back into the store, and there's that parrot again. And the parrot looks at him and says, "Hey, you." And he says, "You talking to me?" He says, "Yeah, come over here." He says, "You know what?" And he says, "What?" He says, "You know what?" You know, that's kind of how the enemy does us, you know. He the Bible says that he is an accuser. Revelation said he's an accuser, accusing us day and night. Jesus said in John chapter 8 that the devil is the father of lies, and that's his job, to accuse you. And he whispers in your ear. He says, "You know what you did last week. You know what you did last night." You know, you come into a service like this, and you're ready to worship, and you're ready to sing that song, and the devil says, you know what? You know, you can't, oh, come on, you can't sing that song. You can't, come on, you can't go there. You can't be free. You can't experience this because of who you are." And he lies to us, and he accuses us, and we buy into that. And that's why we're trying to combat this with God's truth. And I hope that through this series, as we've been going through these weeks, that you're beginning to believe it. And that's half the battle, right? Is believing the truth instead of believing the lie. But go back to the garden at the beginning. That's how we all got into this mess. We believed a lie instead of believing God's truth. God spoke something, and the enemy came along and said, "Well, God didn't really mean that." But yet he did. And we bought into the lie, and we've been in bondage. We've been dragging around baggage ever since. And so I hope you're beginning to believe that. In week 2 and 3, we tried to attack a couple of areas where most baggage comes from, you know, where there's something from our past, a mistake or an issue or regret from something from yesterday, that shame and that guilt that we drag around. We dealt with that in week 2. And in week 3, we talked about another area, and that's the area of people. You know, it's usually either our past or it's people oftentimes that presents the baggage that we drag around. And we talked about that constant hurting and those relational wounds in week 3. Last week we tried to tackle this one concept, that when we begin to experience Christ, we're going to experience freedom. But there's a theological term called regeneration. And that is that once your sins are paid for and you can go to heaven, but there's still this process of you becoming a new person. And it doesn't happen overnight. So salvation happens instantaneously, but the changing part takes a little time. And so that's called regeneration or transformation. And so I'm becoming a new person day by day. Yes, we're a new person instantaneous before Christ. God sees us as he sees Christ. He sees us through Christ because we're now in Christ. But most of us, we've experienced that transformation, but a lot of that transformation happens right up front, but there's oftentimes still that one area, that bag that won't let go, right? And we think we buy into this, that we think that there's, okay, we got 99% taken care of, but there's that 1% that we think that we're still going to have to live with. We just got to live with it. It's who I am. I can't get rid of it. But hopefully you found some freedom from that last week. And here's the final twist on this. That once you've experienced freedom, how do you then stay free? What do you do with the counterattack? Did you know there's often a counterattack? And Jesus talked about this in Luke chapter 11. And this is a reality. When people oftentimes will experience freedom, but they're never prepared for the counterattack. So I want to look in Luke chapter 11, and Jesus describes this. He says that when an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert searching for rest. So in other words, you've got some stuff that's gotten out of your life, okay? Yeah, you say, well, you're talking about I'm demon-possessed. Well, I'm not saying that necessarily, but it could be that, yeah. Or it could be just the stuff that the enemy has placed in your life, and God cleans that stuff out. You get rid of the baggage. God frees you from that stuff, that habit, that addiction, that whatever that shame and guilt of the past is, that old identity of who your past said you were. You've gotten free from that, and he's cleaned you out, and he set you free from that. But it says, but when that happens, then there's a counterattack. When it finds none, it says, I will return to the person I came from. So that thing shows back up. And look, it says, so it returns and finds that its former home is all swept and in order. So you cleaned everything out, but look at this. And it goes on to say, but the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all enter the person and live there. And so that person is worse off than before. So what Jesus is saying here is oftentimes there's a counterattack. So let me put it to you this way. We're going to talk about this as we get near the end of this message, but it's not enough just to empty out. There's some things that we need to fill up with as well. We need some things to take the place. We touched on that a little bit last week. We're going to talk about that a little more this week. So what we're talking about here is, how do you maintain freedom, though? Okay, you're free, but then how do you keep that thing from returning? How do you keep all that from coming back into your life? How do you stay free? And I'm going to show you a cycle. I'm going to give you three words that shows us a cycle of how the things happen in almost every arena of our life. Okay? It happens in government. It happens in our country. It happens in business. It happens in finances. It happens in our morals or in our character. And I'm going to show you today, hopefully, how you can stop the cycle. Write this first one down, and that is freedom, in that first blank there on your notes. Freedom. See, all of us want freedom, I believe. And we go for it. We strive for it. We go after it. Even you look at the history of America, and if you were to go back at the founding of this country, a group of people that decided to sail across the pond, right, to discover a new place, a new nation where they could be free, where they could get away from the burden of taxation without representation, where they could have religious freedom and worship God and establish this great nation under God, created where all men were created equal and under God, and they experienced freedom, and there was great sacrifices for that freedom, and there was a fight for that freedom. But here's what happens, is that freedom produces prosperity. Put that one down. That's your second blank there. Freedom produces prosperity. And the bad news about this is that most people don't know how to handle it. And usually we respond with either a couple of things, either arrogance or complacency. We stop fighting for freedom and all the things that we did to get us there, and we stop doing those things, and something happens in the midst of that prosperity. We don't know how to handle it. I will just say this. Our country has not always been in the debt that it is now. Right? We're in trillions of dollars of debt. And the problem is, oftentimes, we don't know how to handle our freedom. There's a cost for freedom. And there's a price that's been paid for that freedom. And then we get the freedom and we respond again in either arrogance, pride, or oftentimes complacency. We can say the same thing of us individually, right? Studies show that the average American spends 122% of what they earn. Not good, right? Where's my financial peace people, right? not good. So how many knows that's not going to work? In other words, we're out of control. Prosperity leads to arrogance or complacency, and that will lead to bondage. That's the third blank there. Bondage. I want to teach you how you can not only experience the first thing of freedom, but to teach you how to be prosperous and how that you can handle your freedom. And prosperous is not just money. You realize that. We're talking about the freedom and the blessings of the Lord in our life and living freedom as God always intended it to be. So how can you handle your freedom? I'm going to teach you how to never let it go. So before you get discouraged thinking, yeah, that's me, I'm in bondage in many areas of my life. It's like our nation is in bondage financially. Let me just tell you, the early church itself faced it as well. They experienced freedom. They were fired up when Jesus appeared. I mean, they didn't have to do the sacrifices that they were used to doing, where there was the killing of the animal and the shedding of the blood. Now Jesus comes. He sheds his blood for us. He takes the place of all of that. He is the sacrifice once and for all and died on the cross. He paid the ultimate sacrifice and price for our freedom so that we could be set free. But yet, we tend to go right back into bondage. Right back into bondage. I heard a story. I hesitated as I was preparing this whether I should share this or not. I'm on the internet and everywhere else sharing this, but it's just a true story. The early church, that many of them, what happened in the Jewish custom, or that they believed that you had to be circumcised to be a follower of God. And so when Jesus came along, he abolished some of that law where that wasn't necessarily required because it was through faith in Jesus Christ and what he had done. And so some of the people who were now coming to faith, and Paul got pretty upset with them because they were putting on them those requirements on the new converts saying that they needed to be circumcised. And Paul got really pretty upset about them. Now if I could just kind of put a little humor in here, okay, y'all? Okay, y'all work with me. Put a little humor in here. Could you imagine, you know, we're offering the growth track and step one, you know, the growth track, and we're saying, okay, you want to be a part of this church? Well, guess what's required? How many know I'd have all women, you know, show up? Okay, so just saying. I mean, it's there in Scripture. I'm just, you know. But there was this bondage that they wanted to put on. And can I just tell you, the whole book of Galatians was dedicated to how that we could become free. Paul had established this church, and he took an entire book of the Bible, Galatians, in fixing a church that he had planted that had once found freedom, but they have gotten right back into bondage again. We get back into legalism. We get back into a religion or a form, and we fall back into that. We look at the Pharisees and the Sadducees in the Bible, and we point fingers at them and saying, look how they were just full of religion and they weren't about relationship. But if we're not careful, we could take our own forms of worship ourselves, and we could turn that into a form of idolatry ourselves and worship those things instead of worshiping God, right? So we got to be careful with this, that we don't fall back into bondage and make it, you know, even about the rules instead of the relationship. Now you say, well, aren't the rules important? Well, yes, they are. But guess what? You can't fulfill all the rules. You can't do all the rules. Only Jesus, our righteousness, can fulfill all of righteousness. Amen? Only our righteousness is all in Him. So that means that as we follow Him, come on, He imparts His righteousness to us. Now, when we're in relationship with Him, we're going to follow the rules because we're going to walk in His strength and the power of His of relationship with Him. The rules will come along, but the rules don't precede relationship. It's relationship, and then the life change happens. The process happens. Does that make any sense, everybody? Okay? So we're not throwing out all that. Jesus didn't come to destroy the law, but He came to fulfill the law. And guess what? On our best of days, we're still not enough. Our righteousness, and when we got it all together and our hair is all in place and we got our suit on and everything and our shoes shine and we're doing everything, it's as best as we know how to do it, even our righteousness is as filthy rags. They don't measure up. They don't fulfill. They will not. That our righteousness, our own works will not get us into heaven. Only the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and that's good news because He offered it free to us. He paid the sacrifice so we could be free. Amen? I just feel like preaching today. Okay. So let me just settle down here and just sort of break this out to us how that we can be free. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul says this, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." So hopefully you found some freedom the first 4 weeks, and today I'm going to give you some secrets to maintain freedom and stay free. So I want to find a way where you could stay in that second stage of that cycle, and you can be blessed. The question is then, is it possible to experience freedom, God's blessings on your life, and never go back into bondage? And the answer to that question is yes, if you do these three things. Number one, write this down, humility. Humility. People lose their freedom because they become arrogant. And we all tend to. Our nation, a church can do that. Pastors can do that. Individuals can do that. You know, we ever get to that place where, you know, I got this thing. You know, I got this. I got this issue under control. I got this. Guess what? You're in trouble. Because our confidence is not in I, it's in Him. Amen? And so pride oftentimes gets in place. Proverbs says that pride goes before a fall and a haughty spirit before destruction. So instead, if we could keep this one attitude when God blesses us and blesses our business, blesses our home, and we experience freedom, and that still come before God and say, God, on my best of days, I still fall short. And God, if it weren't for you, come on, everybody. Everything we have is from a gracious God and His mercy. It's not because you're smart enough or good-looking enough or, come on, it wasn't any of that stuff. It's because of the mercy of God. One person said, the man on his face can never fall from that position. We need to stay in a position of humility. Here's a scripture that is not in your notes, but it's in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Where it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. So, humble yourself. It says, humble yourself. So, there's an option there. Humble yourself or be humbled. James Robinson said, it's humility or humiliation. You know, one you take the initiative, the other God initiates. Trust me, it's better if we take the initiative. And then what happens is when we are humble, He lifts us up. David, who understood this, who was a guy who committed adultery, who committed murder, and yet he never fell from God's favor and grace on his life because he understood his entire dependence was upon God. Psalm 51, we see his attitude where he prayed this prayer. He said, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Verse 2 says, wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He was dependent. Then look at verse 17, and he says this, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. He understood that everything he had came from God, and he was dependent upon the gracious hand of God. If you want to maintain freedom, you got to have humility and, number two, honesty. Honesty. So that means when you're tempted, when that bag shows back up, when the enemy comes knocking at the door, when the enemy comes saying, hey, you know what, come on, that you better tell somebody. You got to get real with somebody and get honest with somebody. Just because you've fallen doesn't mean that bag has to come back in your life, though. Just because you fall doesn't mean, the Bible says a righteous man will fall seven times, but he gets back up. But the first step is we need to be honest. And I will say this, with God first of all. We got to get honest with God. 1 John chapter 1 says this, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So we got to be honest with Him. And then look at verse 10. If we claim that we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. So we have to be honest. Say, God, I am in need of prayer. I haven't got it all together, God. I'm dependent upon you every day. And so there's that honesty with God. But then there's also an honesty with others. James chapter 5 says this, says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And that's the power of what we call around here small groups. To get you in a relationship where you have a place where you can get in relationship with somebody where you can be honest and you can receive help and you can help others. It's a place where you can get real. And I would encourage you, there's some small groups meeting today. Get into a small group where you can have some life poured into you and be honest and have some accountability. Have some accountability there. I heard of one story where These pastors were in kind of an accountability group together. And one pastor, he said, you know, guys, I just got to be honest. He said, I've got this problem with lust. And he said, "I just can't help it. Just everywhere I go, y'all need to pray for me. I just need to have I just need help with this. I got, you know, all these thoughts and things going on." And another pastor said, "Well, since you're being honest, I'm gonna be honest too. I've got a problem with gambling. You know, I just can't stop it. I'm addicted to gambling. Everywhere I go, I just want to gamble, and it's a real problem." And so another pastor spoke up and said, "Well, you know, I since y'all being honest, I'll be honest too." He said, "I've got a real problem. It's I have a problem with gossip, and I just can't wait to get out of here so I can go tell all your business." So I don't know if that's your fear with like being in a small group. The secret of that is you be the one that goes last. No, I'm just kidding. But we do believe that you need to get into a small group. And it doesn't mean getting into a group and sharing all your business, but find somebody that you can have a relationship with, a healthy relationship, where you can trust them and you can share with them, and they can share with you, and you can pray for one another. The Bible says iron sharpens iron, so we need each other. But honesty is extremely important. If you're going to maintain this freedom, you got to stay in humility and you got to be honest. Number three, and this one's huge, we need the Holy Spirit. Just write that down, Holy Spirit. We need the person of the Holy Spirit active in our life. Paul prayed a benediction to his book of 2 Corinthians, where he said, "May the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." What was he talking about? He was saying that after all my teaching, this was the end of 2 Corinthians, after all of his teaching, after all of his handouts, all of the fill in the blanks, Paul said, "It's not enough. You need the intimate fellowship, the friendship of the Holy Spirit." So everything you're receiving today, all the bullet points, all we've done for the last 4 weeks, is not enough. And that means that you cannot maintain this on your own efforts. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 says, "You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit." So it's not just getting this down academically. It's not just knowing the points where you could teach it yourself. It's more than that. It's where you have an encounter with God. You experience His presence and His presence living inside of you. Now, look what happens. You're not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is," look at that, "there's freedom." Check it out now. There's freedom in that. So there's freedom there. So it's not just more information that we need. We need to have this relationship. And most of us, honestly, are sermonized way beyond our level of obedience. We need more encounters, more experiences. Some of us, again, could teach this stuff, but you've never had a face-to-face encounter with God. We need His power in our lives. And I know some people are kind of afraid of that because we've seen things that are out of order or goofy or man-made, but that stuff cannot keep us from going after God. And if you get desperate enough, you will. You'll go after God with all your heart. There's a story in the Bible of Jacob who had some baggage. Boy, did this guy have baggage in his past. His name, Jacob, actually meant deceiver. He had issues with people. He had issues with his father-in-law, Laban. He had a brother, Esau, that he had some issues with. And he tried everything. He was a manipulator. He was a deceiver. And in all of his efforts, he failed. And he found himself in this place that he named Peniel because he wrestled with God. And I want to show you the story. It's found in Genesis chapter 34. Where he says, "So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him." Now look at this, a man. Now if you look at the translation of that, what that really is talking about, and most theologians say it's speaking of an angel, the angel of God. Many believe it was actually Christ before he came to this earth himself, because it talks about the angel of God. But he wrestled with him till daybreak. Verse 25 says, "When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip." So he basically put his hip, come on, out of socket, pulled it out of socket, Jacob said, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Verse 26, then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. He said, I'm desperate. I've done everything I know to do to make this thing right, to make this thing work, this thing called life, and yet I can't do it myself. I need you. And look at it goes on to say, the man asked him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Verse 28, then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, because Jacob meant deceiver, but Israel, which means prince, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome. Jacob said, please tell me your name. And he replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. Verse 30, so Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face. So it's recorded here that he blessed him. And that word blessed really means it's more than just monetary. What it means is there was an internal and an eternal joy that he experienced. He blessed him there in this. Look at that. Now, my hope is that after going through parts 1-4, here's what I hope that you understand today, and that is that we need this attitude to maintain our freedom. We need humility and honesty, but we need, listen everybody, we need the daily presence of God, a Holy Spirit relationship that will produce in you the same three things that it produced in Jacob. Look at this with me in closing. Number one, write this down, a new strength. Why did Jacob... Now, let me ask you this. Why did God pull Jacob's socket, his hip out of socket? Think about this. Have you ever asked that question? I wonder why God did that, to make him walk the rest of his days with a limp. Let me answer this. Because he wanted the biggest muscle of his body. Come on, the biggest muscle, the strongest muscle you have in your body is your hip, that strength that you have in your hip. And he wanted to touch that place of his strength, his thigh, the place of his own natural strength. So he's saying to him, I don't want you relying upon your own strength. I want you relying upon my strength. Amen? Hey, that's the truth. So God, right? Think about it. As a reminder, I'm going to dislocate the place you rely on the most and remind you that you can't walk through this life without me. We could do everything in our own strength, but unless we have his strength, it means absolutely nothing. And Paul got this. Paul got this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. It wasn't just handouts. It wasn't just taking notes. It was more than that. It wasn't with all this persuasive word, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith wouldn't rest in all those things and your own ability and your own strength and your own talents, come on, and your own wit. No, so that your faith might rest not on men's wisdom, but on God's power. On God's power. Right? Number two, look what else that it produced in Jacob. These three things, as we stay in humility and in honesty and in relationship with him, it'll produce not only a new strength, but it will produce a new identity. Think about this. In the Bible, look at those or anybody who had an encounter with God face to face. Look at Abraham. Look at Paul. Look at Peter. God changed their name. And some of you have brought into play this identity that you think it's who you are based on your past. That's simply not true. You know, I'm this way. It's the way my family is. You don't know my background. You don't know my daddy. You don't know my granddaddy. Come on. They were about women, and so am I. You know, they were about an angry temper, and it's just who I am. It's just in my blood. I can't help it. It's just in my DNA. It's who I am. Can I tell you, that is a lie in Jesus' name. You have a new identity. You are a new creation in Christ. Amen. You're not just one that got it. Well, they sipped a little of the bottle. I'm going to sip a little of the bottle. No. Listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, look at this. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Amen, everybody? And I believe it can happen today that you could walk out of here with a new identity. It can happen today. You can have an encounter today. You can walk out of here with a brand new name. In fact, the Bible tells us when we get to heaven, there's a brand new name written down for us in heaven. He's going to give us a new name because we thought what we were. No. The world named us. Your mom and daddy named you, but you got a new name. I'm not saying you have to go out and literally change your name, but what I'm saying is you're not who your circumstance, who your past, who your enemy, even your own failure says you are. That's something that happened to you, but there's somebody else that happened in you. You have a new identity in Jesus Christ today. Amen? Come on, we're somebody new in Jesus today. You're not the old. Come on, the past is the past. Jesus has broken that off of us, paid for our freedom for us. And it can happen in an encounter time. And you can only get strength, come on, and a new identity when you have a face-to-face encounter with Him. And that's going to produce, write this one down, a new joy. A blessing, a place of joy deep on the inside where everything changes on the inside. You can change everything on the outside you want to change. You know, we can go shopping and get new clothes and put on. We can go across the street and get a degree and put it on the wall, and all that's good. You know, we can accomplish things and do things and, you know, whatever. Go to the gym. Come on. All those things. But listen, the only thing that's really going to change your life is when something changes on the inside. But before you can have this face-to-face encounter of experiencing God's presence and power in your life, where He has control of your life, is it that there needs to be a removing of anything between you and God. Before you can have that encounter with, there may be a barrier. There may be some baggage, some things that are between you and God. And perhaps you're here today and you just feel like God's a million miles away. And I get that. But oftentimes it's because of something in our life. If we can be honest, maybe it's our own mistake or our own failure, or maybe it's even something that somebody did to us, some of these things that we've covered over these past several weeks. But we need to be honest with that about it. Honest about our baggage and let Jesus remove it. You say, well, is it that easy? Yeah, it is. You can't remove it. Jesus can remove that barrier. But there's a catch. And that is that all he wants is your life. He wants your life. But can I just tell you? That's a great deal because we give Him our junk and then He gives us a new life. When you encounter Him, He takes away all those things and causes us to walk in a new way. I just want to encourage you today. If there's a barrier there, if there's some baggage there somewhere that's hindering your relationship with Him, that you get rid of it and make a decision to give your life to Him. Amen? I want us to pray together. Would you just bow your heads with me today? And if you'll be honest with God today and say, hey, there's some things in my life. Maybe there's that one thing I need freedom over. Can I just encourage you today that can be found? And perhaps there's that thing that's standing between you and Him. Maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's a failure or a mistake. Maybe it's unforgiveness of somebody that did you wrong, but somehow or other that stands between you and God. I want to allow you to find freedom and experience His presence. And it all happens by simply surrendering and allowing Him to come in and take charge of your life. But if that's you today, and you say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, and that's prayer, listen, it's going to be prayed, listen, we're not going to embarrass you, just right where you're seated. I'm just going to lead you in a prayer right where you're seated. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. But if that's you, say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in that prayer? Would you count me in? Would you be bold enough just to slip up your hand and you put it back down? You say, yes, that's me. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. God bless you today. If you're watching online, join us. You can respond to us if you'd like to and email us and let us know what's going on. But would you join us in this prayer? I just want to pray a simple prayer. And all you got to do is mean it. Can I lead you in this? Can I have everybody just praying this out loud for support? Would you do that right now? Just pray something like this. Say, today, God, I need you. forgive me of my mistakes. Take away the barrier. Remove the baggage. Change me on the inside. I invite you to come in. Make me brand new. Today I surrender. I give you everything. I invite you to come and live inside of me. And help me to follow you. With all my heart, I give you my life. And I ask that you help me as I follow you now. God, thank you for every person who just prayed that prayer. Invited you to come in, change their life. I pray today, God, for new freedom to be experienced this day. In fact, as they prayed that prayer, even this moment in faith, God, this very moment, you have settled it. You have settled the past. God, you have set them free. Lord, they're a new creation by faith in Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for doing it now. Thank you for setting them free. And God, I pray in this house, believer, not just the unbeliever, but the believer, God, would experience your presence, would experience the freedom come from walking with you today. God, may we experience that today. May we experience life today as we encounter you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.